Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Irish singer-songwriter Darren Kiley learned to play the tin whistle at the age of 5, and at 8 years old he picked up the fiddle, eventually teaching himself to play guitar as well. Darren began singing in 2019, quickly garnering attention for his raw and fervent vocals and emotive delivery. After winning numerous honours at a national level in Irish traditional music, Darren found his way to New York City in 2022, continuing to develop his own music and sound, and soon after headed to the songwriting hub of Nashville. Signing to Free Flight Records, Darren's unique presentation of folk-infused pop and lush storytelling, which echoes the backdrop of the Irish countryside where he was raised, is the forefront of his debut EP, Lost. Lost features new track Mom and Dad, which debuted in the top 40 on the Irish singles chart, and also landed him in the top 5 on the Irish Homegrown chart, as well as a fan favorite, Sunrise. His follow-up project and next EP is called From the Dark. Darren took his new music on the road with his headline, The Road Home Tour and The Lost Tour, where he sold out shows across his home country of Ireland and in the US. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing his journey in the entertainment world and his upcoming tour to South Africa, is Darren Kiley. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm here in Cologne in Germany. We're just here for a few days of rest in the middle of the tour, which is nice.
Lovely. Okay, so now let's dive all the way back to the beginning. At what age, whether you were a child or teenager, did you feel cool? This is my path. I want to be in the creative world. And how did that journey progress?
It probably was about 5 years ago. I was in college back in home in Ireland, and I decided college wasn't for me and the normal work and all that stuff. I was like, that doesn't agree with me. And I didn't really understand what I was feeling at the time, but I definitely felt restricted and just kind of whatever was my natural kind of self felt a little bit suppressed, I guess. So I started playing in pubs and I started writing music, and I just kept doing the next thing and the next thing, to writing my own songs, just trying to record them, to try and play my own gigs. And that's kind of how I've got to this point, I think.
When it sort of transitioned to the next phase of being like, okay, signing records, collaborating with others and playing to bigger audiences, was it like, oh, this is happening? Or was it like an understanding, okay, I've been laying the bricks, this is just the next step of the foundation?
I think there's different moments that happen along the time where you're like, okay, this feels a little different, or this is feels significant. But a lot of the time you're just kind of, you're going down this path, you've no idea what's next, and oh, that just happens to be the next thing. It's not like I would have, you know, thought about it months in advance. I think that music and this path is so unusual anyway. I don't think you can foresee that much. So a lot of it's just about kind of going with it and just trying to, I guess, try and improve and try and find the next thing. So, yeah, some moments I was definitely like, wow, this is crazy. And then you just go back to, okay, what's next? And what do I do here? And how do I, get better?
So this is an interesting discussion point. So you said that music is flowing. It's sort of a natural progression. And yet there's obviously strategy and planning around releases, EPs, music videos, tours and stuff. So how do you balance, and maybe from your perspective, obviously, have you been able to balance the path between, okay, it's just going with the flow and having those planned strategy of knowing what's coming up next?
I think it's something I'm still definitely learning, and I found tricky at the start. Initially it was just me. I had no one else that would be involved in releasing music, and that was had its own kind of challenges. Now I think that when there's a little bit more of a team around, it's definitely talked about, okay, what's the plan for this many months. And I try and park that, I guess. You know, that is what it's going to be. Obviously, if some songs do better or whatever it is, that plan could change. But I'm trying to park the stuff that are set in stone and just try and have enough music and try to be creative outside of that. So I know there's going to be some things that are pretty set in stone, and then in other ways, I'm trying to be as loose and creative and not kind of rigid to a structure. It's weird, but I think the more you do it, the more you just get used to.
And you referenced that you at beginning you were just by yourself, everything on your own, and now you have more of a team supporting you and collaborating with you. Are there any aspects about being a part of a collaborative team that you were surprised is part of it, or it's just, okay, this is just how it is?
I don't know if anything was too surprising, really. You know, you hear some stories of it not going so well, and I think that's the big fear about, you know, joining different teams and partnerships. I haven't felt that at all, and if anything, it's really nice to have a sounding board, you know, whether it's exactly what you want to hear all the time. I think the people that are around me and my team, they're consistent in what they'll say, and I can get a gauge then myself of some sort of objectivity, which is tricky. You know, that kind of perspective, you can lose it sometimes, especially when there's a lot of, you know, you go from your own opinion to having so many other opinions. But I think it's been a really good thing.
Now, obviously, when you're creating and writing, you're in a vulnerable place. You're releasing feelings, emotions, and so forth. And again, you said that in the beginning, you were writing by yourself. Now you're collaborating with others. So when you collaborate with people that you've never met with before, is it a moment to get used to each other's energies, suss each other out, or do you just dive straight in and start writing?
I think it's only worked well for me. Honestly, when we've had a, you know, conversation and it feels relaxed and it feels like I want to open up or be vulnerable, you know, when you feel like you're actually going there to write, you know, which is obviously what you're doing, but when you feel like, okay, the job here is to write a song. It comes from no place other than kind of very cerebral thinking, in my opinion. And I think the best writing I've done is when I feel a sense of magic or a sense of connection with either myself or others in the room, and getting to know them, or even just getting comfortable in other people's presence is huge. And then, yeah, I mean, I've collaborated with others, and that kind of circle has remained pretty small. There's just a certain amount of people I like writing with because we connect, and I like it. I think I'm always open to new collaborations and stuff, but there's only certain ones that'll work because, you know, we just don't connect with everyone for whatever reason that is.
So diving into this creative process, what motivates it? What invigorates it from creating that song of 3 to 4 minutes? Is it easy every time? What inspires those music? Let's unpack your creative process and brain.
Very, very varied. Sometimes it's listening to music and not even thinking about writing. Sometimes it's doing like watching a movie or relaxing and not even thinking about writing. And sometimes it's just sitting with a guitar and mumbling and trying to, you know, get inspiration from that. So I think it's whenever something pops into my brain that makes me feel something deeply. That's where it all starts from. There's loads of different things I try, and some things that I've tried before won't work on a particular day for whatever reason. I'd love to know why, but I haven't figured it out. But usually, yeah, it's the feeling of something magic. That's what inspires any song I think I've written. And sometimes that spark isn't there. A lot of the time it isn't, but you're chasing that, and it's kind of exciting, frustrating. At times, but exciting.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you are aware of NLP. So this is neuro-linguistic programming. And the reason I bring this up is you spoke about the feeling. Now, part of neuro-linguistic programming, well, basically what that is how we process information. And part of that, there's a sort of a subsection about processing. Now, each of us have dominant processing skill, a secondary and tertiary. Something happens to each of us as a child that allows this to happen. Now, dominant means that you'll be in this processing skill for the whole day or most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours. Tertiary, maybe half an hour. Now, there are three of them. Visual people create or process information through pictures. So all the visual people while I'm talking now will be creating a picture in their brain of what I'm referencing. Auditory people, they process information through the audio. So it's the words, the sentences, and the paragraphs. Kinesthetic people process information through the feeling, the body language, the tone of voice, and the emotion. Now, directing this to you specifically in music, because it will be different in different areas of your life. But when you're listening to one of your own songs or a song by another artist, are you seeing pictures? Is it about the feeling? Are you hearing the lyrics?
Great question. I think I hear the lyrics very, very last.
Okay.
So all of my favorite songs, I only know the lyrics. I know it's my favorite. Like, I know I love this song and I know the lyrics 20 listens down the line when I pay attention to it. And I'm somewhere, I think if you can be, I think I'm a mix of the other two. I have some songs that I feel like I'm in a certain place and I feel like I'm in a movie and it's depicted like that. Or
yep.
The same way when I'm writing songs, I feel like I can picture the scene happening and
yep.
That's how I create the words. But that's not every song. Yeah, the lyrics are definitely last. I think that's the thing. Almost like the cherry on top would maybe be the wrong thing to say, but
yeah.
when I feel something so strongly from a song and then I discover the lyrics and they hit me at another level, it just it's the full seal of approval in terms of making that song feel incredible for me.
Has there often been experiences when you had the feeling and then you eventually heard the lyrics and you were surprised what the song was actually referencing?
100%, and I think, and even some of my own writing, I think is felt happier or felt, you know, you feel different things, and that almost when the subject matter can be darker or
yeah.
You know, the lyrics are more serious than the vibe that's kind of portrayed. It's I think it hits you even more, you
yeah.
know. But who knows? But I that's what I think anyway. It's kind of incredible, really, to have different listens. Obviously a first listen is so different to when you're depicting lyrics from a song that you've already fallen in love with, but then you're actually rediscovering actually what it means, you know. And it's crazy how many times I've sang along to choruses of songs and it's only years down the line I actually think about what the song is actually about, which is mad considering I'm really into songwriting. But it's just how I like to enjoy music, I think.
I had an aha moment a number of years ago that helped me realize that not one person in the world is processing information the same. And the problem or challenge is that we are all assuming that everyone's seeing and hearing and experiencing the same as us. So I was with a person in the gym and we were talking and I'm able to hear lyrics clearly. So if we were talking now and a song was playing in the background, not too soft, not too loud, I could hear the lyrics clearly. I don't have to focus on the song to hear the lyrics. So I was speaking to this person, somehow the song was related to what we were discussing. And I said to her, did you hear the lyrics of the song afterwards? And she said, well, I wasn't focusing on them, so I did not hear them. And that was a brain freeze for me or brain whatever for me, because I was like, why do you have to focus on the words of the song? Like, what is that? It helped me realize that everyone is processing information differently. And it gave me that aha moment to realize that. When you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and experience it for what it is, or is your creative brain unpacking what you're listening to?
It depends. There's definitely been stages more recently since I've created music where I haven't enjoyed music, you know, as much as I should have. It's been very much like my brain was probably in overdrive as to what was happening.
Mm.
And especially, I think, really big songs, like hit songs. And ones that I can see a lot of people love. And, you know, I've always had a frustration in myself that I haven't loved the songs. And I'm wondering why that is, purely from a point of wanting to be able to understand why people love music. And there's definitely been a frustration where I I haven't been able to understand that from other people. But I think now less analytical, because I know that the stuff that I write myself that I love is it has been based on feeling. So I don't, you know, that's within me to create, and not something that I can go, well, they did this in this song, they did this in this song. Yeah, a little bit, maybe that
No.
comes into it, and some details, but it's usually feeling. I'm not afraid to listen to too much music, because I'm delighted when I feel something like that from music. But there was a stage where I didn't enjoy it, you know, it was like it was too much, and it maybe got me to rethink how I approach and listen to music.
Well, it's interesting because feeling is in the body and the brain is the thinking mind. So you've taken yourself out of the thinking brain and back into the body, which is fantastic. What do you enjoy about performing live?
I enjoy the feeling right before you go on stage, when you can almost hear that there's people the other side of the curtain or the door, whatever way onto the stage it is. And just again, just the fact that you're in a feeling for an hour or an hour and whatever it is, and you don't do a lot of thinking. It's just like it's a connected feeling where you feel a connection to yourself and to people. That's like no other feeling I think I've felt doing anything else. It feels like magic. It can kind of blow your mind too, you know. I mean, we're kind of 2 weeks into this tour, and you're in places like that I haven't even visited before, and there's people listening to your music. You're as much as I'm not thinking usually during the gig, at times you're like, this is, you know, this is
Yeah.
crazy that this is real life. So that's a mad feeling to keep experiencing. And I've only been touring since the end of 2023, but that feeling hasn't waned any bit, which is really exciting, because I think I just don't see it going away. And that's a few different things I love about it, but there's probably more. It just doesn't feel like it could be real life, you know.
I mean, if it's your passion, I don't think that feeling will ever wane, as you mentioned, because if you're always passionate about something, that feeling will always drive you. Now, I'm that dude that's standing right in front. I'll take up my phone, take a couple of videos, take a couple of photos, put my phone away. I find a lot of people these days at concerts, they are tweeting, they're posting, they're videoing. You referenced that connection between yourself and the audience. Do you not find that the phones take away from that connection, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Maybe it does. I know at different songs in my set now, I can see, you know, phones will come up and video different parts of it. It's not how I, you know, go to concerts, and not how I kind of watch them. For me, it doesn't take me out of it. Maybe it does to the people who are actually the ones holding up the phones. I'm not sure. I still don't. I know I see some artists, they're like, can we just do this song without phones? And I've never thought about it that it felt like that much of a distraction. I feel like we're so, yeah, maybe we're too connected to our phones right now. But I think for the people who don't use their phones that often, and during concerts, I think we would think that that's taking people away from it. Whereas I feel like the people who use their phones often are just like, that's just how they are, and it
Okay.
doesn't actually change their, but I don't know. It's, you know, and people talking during concerts as well. Some people will look at people who are talking during concerts, and it's just sometimes I think it's just be personality. I don't think it's.
It's an interesting mix of people in the audience, that's for certain. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys to say thank you for all the hard work that you put in your creation. I love the journey of the unpacking the booklet, the playing song from one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, overseas, all over the world, CDs, vinyls, even cassettes, can you believe a massive comeback? Vinyls last year in the UK, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And obviously it has to be large amounts of exchanges in order for the product to be put in this basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the early 20s, that are diving into this world. Then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
I think the consumer of music wants something that's authentic and real. And I think as much as like genre of music and listening has kind of gone more back to that rootsy, more real feel to it. Even in like the Bob Dylan movie, for example, people love that movie because it's just so, there's just people playing live in a room that had gone away, that had gone away for a while. Even the recordings people listen to now, it doesn't have to be as clean. It has to feel like, or even like social media. I know I'm going off on a tangent for a second, but it's still popping up a phone. I get that, but they just want to see people with a guitar or just see them, in their rooms. And there's something, I definitely feel it as hopefully one of those younger people who are buying CDs and vinyl and stuff. I think there's just something really cool and real about physical copies of music. And I think that's what people are searching for, that, that if it feels real, whether it's the music or what they're buying around the music. So that's my take on it, I think.
You mentioned you're on this tour. You're going to be coming to South Africa. So for the listening audience, I'm speaking to Darren, and he'll be coming to South Africa in April of 2025. As you said, you're in Europe, you're traveling. What else is happening this year?
We're touring Europe. We're finishing in Limerick, which is in a city in Ireland. We'll get a couple of weeks break and we'll tour four cities in Australia. Then we'll make our way to South Africa, and then we'll head to the US for a run of headline shows there, all before the summer kind of kicks off. And then in that time, we're hoping to release some music. Got a few releases planned, and that's kind of the next 3 or 4 months. I'm trying to write as much music on the road as possible, and then whenever I've a break, I live in Nashville. It's head back there, either write or record, and just have enough music there that I can kind of consistently release. And that's kind of a big thing, I think, for this year, is to make sure that there's music that I'm proud of, but that comes out regularly. Whether that be in an album eventually, I honestly don't know right now. And that's one of those things, I think, when we talked about earlier, like having set things in plan, I'm adaptable to it. And I think creatively, I hope I have enough songs and they mean enough that if I did want to put out an album at some point this year, that I was able to do that. But we'll kind of let things dictate that, and if it makes sense, we'll do it. And if not, there'll be plenty of music coming out. That's the plan, really.
So you live in Nashville now. So how's that living there compared to living in Ireland?
That's completely different. It's
Yeah, I'm sure.
great. I mean, it's not home. It's definitely not, it doesn't have that feeling for me yet, whether it will or not. I'm remaining open to it, but I think I've been touring a lot since I moved there, so I come in and out of Nashville. So it's one of those things where I have friends there, and when I'm around for a few weeks, then they realize you're around for a few weeks, and you start doing things together, and then you go away, and it's like, it's just tricky to kind of come in and out of that. But I'm lucky. I've met some really lovely people there, and music-wise, some of the most talented people I've ever, just to witness, you're in rooms collaborating with people, and you're trying to create, but then sometimes you're just looking back and going like, how did that person do that? And which is inspiring. It's also at the very start very scary. You're like a fish in the biggest pond of all time. But yeah, great experience. I love so many things about Nashville, but home is Ireland, and I don't think that will ever change.
Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists when we finish this conversation, and if you can't think of songs, just five artists, who would those artists be? And if you can think of the songs, what would the songs be?
Glory Days, Bruce Springsteen, probably. Notion, Kings of Leon. Damien Rice, Colour Me In. Lumineers, Cleopatra. And Noah Kahan, Call Your Mom.
So, Darren, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Just thanks a million for having me on. It's been thought-provoking. Definitely
Thank
got me thinking things. I know if you asked me those questions in 2 months, 5 years, I'd probably be answering them differently. But really good insight into myself for myself. I hope other people can take something from it. But yeah, just thanks a million for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.